when we think about God, often we have our own ideas and we have our own ways of seeing God. Often we think that God is like unto us. Often we think of God as being one that is merciful. And he is. He's quite merciful. But we also realize that God is just. In order for us to truly understand who God is, we as a people truly must make up our minds to let God tell us who he is. What do I mean by let God tell us who he is? I'll illustrate. Here is one of the magnificent things that Jesus taught in the scripture. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And the scripture says that Jesus taught the disciples to also pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." In the minds of some people, what's his point? The point is that Jesus taught us to call God Father. Jesus taught us to depend on Father. Jesus taught us to hallow the Father's name. Yet, there is a multiplicity of people that instead of hallowing the Father's name, they desecrate the Father's name by showing that the Father is not the one that deals with the judgment, by feeling that they have the opportunity to order the kingdom by their words, and that they can create the reality with their own mind and mouth. Now, when we look into the Word of God and understand the Word of God as it is, then what we must do is begin to see, number one, that God is not just Father. He's also judge. He's also the one that's going to make things work according to his own will and his own way. And by him being the one that's going to make everything work according to his own will and his own way, he's not going to be thwarted. I read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, Paul says, "Our God is a consuming fire." How do we feel about that? You see, the family often does not really know who God is because we keep taking snapshots of God and we keep taking little bits and pieces and not seeing him as he is. So in this passage where we are in Ezekiel tonight, let's not be thrown off by the strength of what's being said. If we remember what has happened before, God had told those same people in that 20th chapter that, look, when you get rid of your idols, when you get to the place that you don't pollute my name and you hearken to me, then in my holy mountain, I'm in verse 40 of chapter 20, saith the Lord God of Israel, you will serve me and I will accept you. After you begin to realize that I'm not just Father, I'm judge. You don't know me as I am. The family often does not know God, and often he has to show them. And he says, "I'll requite your offerings, your first fruits, and your oblations." 41 says he'll accept your sweet savor. "I'll bring you out from the people and gather you from all the countries wherein I have scattered you. And you will know, the family needs to know who he is, that I am Yahweh when I bring you out I'll bring you into the land of Israel. I'll bring you out. I'll take you out. I'll bring you back in into the country for which I lifted up my hand to give to your fathers. Then you will remember your ways when you know who I am, when you know how I feel. We've been talking about how he feels with the adultery. We've been talking about how he feels whenever he sets you up to be a king, when he dealt with the cedar. Then you want to stretch your ways toward Egypt. The word of God says in verse 44, and you'll know I'm the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, for who I am, according to your wicked ways. But then, and he moved to another place to help them begin to see and know who he is on a higher level. Some of the same thing that Jeremiah had taught, but now Ezekiel is coming out with it. And if you will, and read that 45th verse of that 20th chapter, that's what we're going to pull from tonight.
Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying,
and in addition to God talking about the judgment he would bring, he says, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, this is an important thing to realize. When he comes to him saying something, this is, let me explain it this way. This is the problem that a lot of people have with God, the reason that they don't read the Bible. Because a lot of people don't believe that God can talk. And so what they go by is that, you know, I feel, or I know what God wants. Or they can say within their soul or within their mind that God talks to me like he talks to anybody else. However, what happened to his word? So he says, the word of the Yahweh, or the word of the Lord, came to me saying, son of man, set your face toward the south. That south right there is the word Teman. And it says, set your face toward the south and drop thy word toward the south. Now, that's an amazing word right there when it says drop your word. The word there is natat. Well, what does it mean? Don't just give me a Hebrew word. It means to drip, drivel. Drip or drivel. In other words, he's saying, let your word drivel toward the south. You know, that's not something that you normally would think about, that just drivel running down somebody's face. But let it come down slowly. Let it come down steadily, not in a big rush. Let it drop or drivel toward the south and do what?
And prophesy against the forest of the south field.
Ezekiel. Hezekiel means strong, the strong one of God. And he is saying, prophesy against. You see, there are times when we hear people that say they're prophets now. They want to prophesy for. They want to give you a good feeling or a good word or the Father has said or the blessing of God is this. I'm going to speak into your life. Hear this man. When the word of God comes to him, he says, prophesy against the forest. Now, having been in the book of Ezekiel for a while, your red flag should go up. Why is he prophesying against forest? What have the trees done? Did the trees not let the little birdie birds sit on them? Did the trees lay down on the ground and let the termites eat them? Or is he alluding to something else? I think the scripture would bear it out. Please read.
And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith the Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein.
Now, when did trees grow faces? Listen to how the word of God goes again. Son of man, make your face hard against the south, and drop or dribble your word toward the south, and do it in a slow and a steady manner, and prophesy against the forest. What is a forest? It's not something that you say gump after. A forest is a place where trees grow where there is normally not fruit. Here is a picture of an unfruitful. Now somebody say it could be fruitful, it make wood, and we're not talking about that for the vine of God. We're not talking about that for the apple of his eye. We're talking about they were supposed to produce offspring for him. And here he said, prophesy against the forest. And he says, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree. That's talking about men. It's talking about people. And every green tree and every dry tree, the green and the dry. What would that mean? If the family knew who God was, do you think that they would have themselves in a position to be treated this way? How did this come about? What happened? Why would this very thing be said to them? Going back to Moses, who wrote and taught these people, and I believe it was the last chapter we went through, where it went through and it just showed their history, and that the different ones would rise up and fall down and be wicked. God has said through Moses, for a fire is kindled in my anger. The family needs to know who God is. He is a consuming fire. He showed that when they had those sacrifices. Those sacrifices represented the people. Now, yes, they represented Christ, but it also represented the person. And that animal, after it had been skinned, it was placed on the hearth, and that fire consumed it. That was considered to be the fire of God. Now he's saying here in Deuteronomy, for a fire is kindled in my anger, it shall burn unto the lowest hell, it shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of mountains. God was showing I have the ability to do that, but somebody said, I don't think that fits. Well, let's listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. I just got through telling you they would offer the animal sacrifice and the fire would consume it. I'm saying that what God is saying to the forest, that I'm going to kindle every green tree and every dry tree. That means I am going to consume it. I am going to consume it because you are wicked. I'm going to deal with those that have, that are young and old. The ones that are going to escape are the ones that get the mark on their head. God will preserve. He'll set aside some. If they have their heart right toward him. Yes, he will. So, this, if you read that verse again, I'm going to show you what Jesus said, something similar. I'm sure you remember it, but I want you to read it again. Let me put it in the same context, please.
And say to the forests of the south, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith the Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee. And every dry tree, the flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein.
When the family does not know who God is, I'm not talking about to say his name is Yahweh, or to say Jehovah, to say Adonai, whatever name you want, Yahashua, or whatever you want to say, that's not knowing who he is. Knowing who he is knowing his character and his ways, and understanding this passage to know that these people have sinned so much, they have destroyed and they mocked the prophets according to 36th chapter and the 16th verse of 2 Chronicles. They have killed people. They wanted to kill Jeremiah. Some have burned up the word of God. And so these people are living in what is called apostasy. They think that just because they're the children of Israel, they're going to be okay. And what Ezekiel is telling them, God said, I'm going to send a fire. It's going to kindle. It's not what I want. It's not fruitful. I've already got some marked. I'm going to burn the rest. Now, here's your parallel to this. In the days of Jesus, Judah or Jerusalem was not doing God's will as a total group. They were allowing different people to override the word of God with their traditions, with their ways. We have traditions and ways now. Say, neighbor, neighbor, reach out and touch your neighbor, slap your neighbor on the face, say, it's going to be all right. Raise your check in the air and say, money cometh. We have ways. We have ways. Well, they had ways in that time. So they took Jesus and they were going to crucify him on the cross. And they tried him before Pilate. Pilate determined that he was innocent. So when he comes back to Pilate the next time, Luke 23 and 24 tells what happened with Pilate. Are you there, Anne? He says, and Pilate gave the sentence that it should be as they required. What is it that they required? And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison. Here the children of Israel took their prophet, a righteous man, and had him condemned and allowed another one to go. How can you tell me that this family knows who God is when they're doing that? And then it says they released to him a murder that was for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon the Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and women, also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, listen to this. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. I will submit to you that when Jesus is telling the daughters of Jerusalem to weep for themselves and their children, that's the little boys, that's the little girls, that's their future, he is telling them that you're in just as bad a position as the people that Ezekiel said that the fire was going to come and kindle the forest. He says, for behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us. And the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry? Do you see that Jesus is looking and saying that if all these things happening back here when you all lived a certain way happen, everybody that got the mark lived, but there are some young people that probably hadn't even taken a part of what happened. But you all are under judgment now. Some people are confused and don't know which way to go. But if they're willing to execute me falsely, if they're willing to do whatever is necessary and let a criminal go and judgment is gone, weep for yourself because the judgment of God is sure. And so when we go back here to Ezekiel and he says this about the green tree and the forest, if you think about what Jesus says, we realize that there are some people in this particular place that will be considered old. There are some people that will be considered wicked. There are some people that's considered young. And then those that are considered good, those have been marked. And Jesus said, if you can burn up a green tree, look at the picture. You got heat on you, so your wickedness is real, but God is judging, and he knows how to allude and make take from that and apply it to your situation. Verse 48 and 49, please.
And all flesh shall see that I, Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, oh, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables?
Oh, Lord, why he always talking in parables? Lord, he keeps speaking in these enigmatic ways. Why don't he just talk plain? Well, it is plain when your mind is right. If a person has a problem with the Word of God, he'll find a problem if it's plain, it's too hard. If it's soft and simple, well, you know, it really don't mean it like that. So when Ezekiel tells them that God's going to burn down the forest, you act like you don't understand what he's saying. But yet he said, look, all the faces from the south to the north shall be burnt therein, and all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. You don't think that if a forest is out there burning and trees up and little animals running, that people are going to think that's the Lord? It's you, Jerusalem. It's you that had been blessed. It's you that had came out of Egypt and had a God that you served something else. So what happened? You start learning that God is consistent. What do you mean consistent? He said the same thing to the children of Israel of the north. Remember Isaiah prophesied when we were going through the book of Isaiah, you and I? In Isaiah 9 and 18, it says, for wickedness burneth as fire. It shall devour the briar, it shall devour the briars and the thorns. It shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting of a smoke. What are we talking about? Read the next verse, Tim. Through the wrath of the Lord, through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is darkened, and the people shall be as fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. If they do it in a green tree, what about the dry? You supposed to have been green, Judah. Judah, you were supposed to have held on. Israel, when they were separated as a nation, one of the first things they did was pluck off from the tree with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. We got our own God there. You all can do Yahweh stuff, but I'll tell you what day to do it on. And we got these golden calves that represent. This is consistent talk. This is the consistent way that God has dealt with people. I would also say that this is the very thing that God dealt with when we get to the book of 66 chapter of Isaiah, where God talk about the worm, where it burns and the worm dies not. But I thought that I would just read one more from where Jesus talks about this situation in Matthew chapter 9, 43. The family needs to know who God is, and our God is a consuming fire. We shouldn't forget that. In all our moments of praise, adulation, sadness, we must understand that he is a consuming fire. He gets angry. And the Bible used terms like this. The anger of the Lord smoke. The anger of the Lord gets kindled. The anger of the Lord get hot. Sometimes we see he drop down fire from heaven on people. Sometimes he have nations to burn. I'm talking about literally burn up other nations. So when we start talking about everlasting judgment and fire, is that not consistent? The family needs to know who God is. Why is that, D.R.? The reason that we need to know who God is so that we don't violate his principles. Yes, he wants us to love him, but at the same time, he didn't just give us scriptures to teach us to love him. He gave us some scriptures, though, I'm not the one to play with and to fear me. Let me read for you from Mark 9:43. Jesus was talking about offenses and things that happen and things that cause people to lose their eternal soul. In Mark 9:43, he says, if your hand offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed, having two hands than having go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Did you notice that same term is used in Ezekiel? Never be quenched. And why is Jesus saying this? Is he telling you to cut off your hand? He's telling you whatever that is that defiles you. Whatever it is that defiles you, those people were defiled with idol gods on the mountain. Jesus, Ezekiel had pretty much told them, you all are just fools. You pay people. Other people get paid. You don't. When the family doesn't really recognize who God is, they'll treat him anyway. You notice in life sometimes that the only time a man recognizes or realizes who his wife is when she leaves him? Sometimes the only time a child recognizes or begin to know who his parents are is when they leave and somebody else won't put up with your mess. When it comes to God, God has another remedy. If I let you taste a little bit of my fire, maybe you'll recognize. Some people still don't. And he says, and their worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. Again, if your foot offend you, if your foot is the thing that caused you to get into trouble, that defiles you, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life halt than to have 2 feet to be cast into hell fire that shall never be quenched. And if their worm dieth not. And he goes on and says the same thing about the eye. If the family recognizes who God is and they realize what his standard is about justice and judgment and that he wants all to return to him, and that he's willing, then what they would do is they will not be rebellious. They will not be stubborn. They would turn, because when you really know who he is and you know that he's that consuming fire and you know that he has a fire that will never be quenched for you if you don't repent, Then what you're acting like, I know who you are, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. I submit to you that I believe that most people do not know who God is. Mm-hmm. I believe they've heard. Mm-hmm. They've heard the old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. But did you hear about the one where the same Savior that is God with his Father, will judge? And will judge defilement, because I've given you the empowerment to do right. I've given you the empowerment to live like I say. And you go and defile my land. You defile my tabernacle. I'm talking about our bodies. Defile our families. And I would submit to you that the family must know who God is. It's their safety net. It's your safety net to know who he is. It's not all the time to walk around scared. But if you're in defilement, and you know that you've been a child of God, and you've walked with God, and you've moved away from God, God is a consuming fire. Some people do not get the chance to turn back. My last statement on this is this. Most people know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, whose sin is forgiven without works. The converse of that is true. Cursed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute righteousness, whose sin is not forgiven, in whom a God will not impute righteousness. Somebody say, Tim, where you make that scripture up from? And we were in Ezekiel chapter 18. When the righteous turn from his righteousness and do that which is wicked and evil in God's sight, I won't mention his righteousness. And in the sin that he has done, that's how he'll die. Our God is a consuming fire. He's righteous. He's just. He will judge. And he will use strong measures so that somebody might listen. Somebody might listen. As we move on in Ezekiel, we'll see that the same fire that God kindled in Israel should have been a warning to Judah, but it wasn't. He'll call them two sisters, Ahola and Aholibah. And we'll see that God's judgment is not just to correct the behavior or just to execute his judgment. Even God's judgment is set forth to turn other people around. We should be able to look at how God dealt with these people when he burned Jerusalem to the ground. Old men, old women, young women, women with child were laid out on the ground dead for the dogs to eat, the birds of the air to make dung and dung on the ground, to see what it is when that whole group turn their back on God. This was supposed to be the bride. This was supposed to be the family of God. And I submit to you, just like Ahola and Aholibah, two sisters, one in Israel, one in Judah, and Judah didn't look at what God did to Israel, and God chastised them for that. How much more do you think we're going to be chastised in what we call the New Testament era? We're sister too. And not pay attention. The family needs to know who God is. He's a consuming fire. He's not just Father. He's not just Savior. He's a consuming fire. Don't play with him. That's our message for tonight. I want it to be somber. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being a consuming fire, because knowing that your judgment and how you are when we just blatantly and presumptuously go against you, it has helped me, Lord. It has helped me to stop and think. When I didn't want to do, I thought about who you really are. And it pulls me in line. Lord, may I never forget. May I never forget, in spite of all your love and your kindness and your care for me, you don't stop being God. You don't stop being a God that will judge. Help me and help all of those who hear me to remember, in the times of testing, in the times of trials, in the time of maybe wanting to fly off the handle, in the time of discouragement or anger, to remember who you are. And just because you will forgive with a repentant heart, it doesn't stop your anger from getting quite hot against your children that will stubbornly be rebellious and go against your word. Help us, I pray, to want to please you. and be productive. We don't want to be a forest. We want to be an orchard. We want to be a vineyard for you. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, the magnificent Christ. Amen, amen, and even so. Amen.